Oh yeah, America, crank it up, Dre.
Blog Talk Radio.
Uh-oh, right, here we go.
Oh yeah, the Who That Nation know about this.
Okay.
Wolf Man is on the air, Rob.
Hey, I'm trying to get calm.
Here we go.
Coming at you crunk
that is
tonight.
How we do it. Oh, yeah, we all get it crunk. We want everyone to stand up and get crunk, of course, talking sports with the 12th man. We are officially on the air. Today is Tuesday, of course, May the 28th, a little post-Memorial Day show for everyone out there. We want to, first and foremost, Rob, I got to show a lot of love to all of our servicemen out there that we even have a Memorial Day, so a lot of love for you guys as well out there. And all of our listeners, too. But, of course, I am Andre Peterson, joined by my co-host, Robert Ford. I always got to check in with Mr. Rob, see how he is doing. So how are you doing, sir?
Man, doing great. Ready to talk some sports. What about you, doctor?
Hey, man, I'm doing fantastic. I always want to show some love here. Ladies, to my co-host, congratulations, sir. He has officially tied the knot. He's off the market, lady. So just, FYI, man. So hopefully that'll be okay. Just like some coaches that have made some decisions, same thing here. But it's a beautiful day, sir.
Absolutely. It most certainly is.
Let's get started. I'm going to get you off guard, sir. But anyway, we got a lot of fun topics to discuss. As always, we're right in the thick of the NBA playoffs. We got to talk some NBA. A lot of moves that have been going on, too. A lot of coaching hires that have just been going down. We're going to talk about that in addition to just some other things that are going on, maybe some NFL talk as well. But without further ado, I always have to throw out the numbers for those that want to call in. Share your thoughts, your feedback, anything you want us to discuss. The number to call into the show is 424-243. Well, I'm giving my number, 424-243-9519. I almost lost it there, but that's okay. And if you want to follow us on Twitter, we're at the 12th Man Sports. That's 12-THMAN Sports, as well as Facebook. We are talking sports with 12 men as well. So, man, if I can get my little my notes together, we will be good to go. But first and foremost, we got to get started here. Let's talk a little bit about a couple things that are going on in the NBA. And first and foremost, we're going to talk about this is a great game that's going on right now, the Heat and the Pacers, Rob. This is getting pretty competitive right now. They are waiting for the Spurs, obviously. But what do you think about this particular game?
Well, the Spurs
game,
are waiting for the winner, actually.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. They're waiting for the winner. So I'm saying, I was like, yeah, whoever's going to win, the Spurs are actually waiting, is what I'm saying. But, what do you think about what's going on as far as the game right now?
Well, obviously, we got a good game going on. Tied 89-all here with about 3 minutes something to go left in this game. And, this is game four, and you have to say, three of the four games of this series have been very competitive, and it could have gone either way in each game. Outside of game three, when Miami, blew the Pacers out, all of these games have been really close. And they're intriguing styles. Miami wants to play sound defense, force turnovers, get out on a fast break, whereas Indiana will like to stay in a half-court kind of set and use their size to their advantage against Miami. And so, it's a matter of who can impose their will over the other. And so far in this game, it's right on, dead on here, 89-89. And so, like I said, they're intriguing matchup. Indiana would like to keep this game a little bit more of a half court, use their size. Miami wants to force turnovers on defense, get out and run, fast break, get some easy buckets to help them here. So it's just going to be a matter of which team executes their game plan a little bit better here down the stretch here. And should be very, very interesting. And Indiana is definitely playing these Heat very tough.
It's pretty interesting, too, to see the way that LeBron has responded. He's going in the post, and the Pacers didn't know what to do with them, and you know, obviously before and so now it looks like they're making some adjustments. And it's kind of like that, you know, you make a move, it's a counter move, and it's like a chess game out there, Rob.
Absolutely. He almost came up with a turnover here, but Indiana's going to get the ball back here. 2:50 to go in this game, 89-89. We got a good one going here, America.
That's what it's all about. There's been a lot of coaching moves. We'll talk about that in a quick second. But there has what do you think about the Spurs? You talk about a team that I'm sure some other players or some other people kind of wrote off, but this is a team that's very, very well coached, and we'll talk about that a little later on because the Hawks actually hired one of their assistants. But, you know, obviously this is a team that I think if you're the Heat, this is a very dangerous team. I mean, you know, very similar to the Celtics in that, you know, they have a lot of mental toughness. They're very well coached. You know, obviously you saw the way that Tony Parker played, scoring 37 points. I mean, you talk about just a great performance by him. I mean, so obviously we're assuming that the Heat are going to pull us off, but it's still not too late. You know, obviously from Indiana, you know, I'm always showing some love to my Pacers, but it's going to be a tough game no matter who gets the draw.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Spurs are playing extremely well. One thing you have to look at when you look at the Spurs, they're going to be well coached. They're going to hustle, and they're a smart basketball team. They play together. There's no egos on a ball club, and a team like that is going to be hard to beat. Whether you have the Heat or the Pacers, that Spurs team is going to be hard to beat. And right now they're executing at all cylinders right now. I didn't think they would sweep the Grizzlies. I thought they would win the series. They just dominated that series. And you know, Jalen Rose made an interesting comment that he felt like Tony Parker was the third best player in the NBA right now behind LeBron James and Kevin Durant. What do you think about that?
Wow.
Do you agree, disagree?
I mean, third best player, I mean, you know, I can make a case for him being probably one of the better point guards, Rob. I mean, you know, there's a probably, you know, I'm not a Kobe fan, Rob. You know this, you know, maybe Kobe's up there. I mean, obviously he's hurt, but third best right now – that's a tough statement. I mean, I'd probably put him top five easily, you know, you can argue for Carmelo, you can argue for a couple other players too. But you know, I'd definitely put him top five. Maybe top three, maybe a little too tight. But I'd agree, top five. I mean, I think you know, Parker's a teammate. Tim Duncan's still up there too. I mean, you know, obviously he's just been you know solid all the way. Through just a player that you know obviously doesn't want a lot of publicity, just doesn't seem to stay consistent for like the past almost 15 years I want to say, man, amazing.
Yeah. I actually think Chris Paul is still the third best player in the NBA, believe it or not, behind LeBron and Kevin Durant. I just don't think he's been on the best of teams yet to get to this level, as of right now. But I think overall, I think he's the third best player in the NBA. You know, even though he whined his way out of New Orleans, but I still would say he's the third best player in the NBA, just in my opinion. And still the best point guard in the NBA as well.
Why did he whine his way out of New Orleans, Rob? What was it? Was it a contract thing, or why did he want to get in?
Well, I think he wanted to be with an organization. I think he wanted to be with a team that gave him a better opportunity to win. And, you know, and I think that was in the Hornets at the time had a shaky ownership situation. It's not, you know, Tom Benson didn't own the team then like he does now. And I think if he would have stuck around for Tom Benson, maybe we would have had a better chance of keeping him. But he didn't.
Gotcha. That's a little insider for the Pelicans is what they're calling themselves now. But we are continuing to make some way. And for those that want to call in and share your thoughts or any feedback, I'm going to get the numbers right this time. The number to call the show, number one, it's 424-243-9519. Also, if you want to follow us on Twitter, obviously we're at 12th Man Sports, and we're also on Facebook as well. There's a lot of ways you can get in contact with us, share us your thoughts, give us your feedback. Let us know how we're doing, and we're going to keep it moving right along, Rob. And we're going to talk about a lot of coaching carousel moves, if you will. And I'm gonna shout out. I'm gonna show some love for my Hawks. They actually hire a Spurs assistant, Mike Budenholzer, And I think this is a great move. I know some people in Atlanta aren't too happy about it because they felt like this was a move that, you know, he's kind of like, well, you should have kept Larry Drew if you're going to get an assistant. But I think this guy's obviously you're under one of the top organizations. You've had some coaching experience with Greg Popovich, who I think is one of the best coaches in the game. And you've seen how the formula to do that. He's got like four rings. They're chasing their fifth right now. I don't know why we were upset about this move. You know, obviously, people couldn't be saying that, you know, whenever Tom Thibodeau was out there, they didn't know a lot about him, and, you know, he kind of did this thing. I'm not saying he's like Thibodeau, but I'm saying he's kind of an underrated guy, and I think it's a great move for the Hawks.
Absolutely. I would agree with you. I think it's a great hire for the Hawks. And this guy has been in the Spurs organization, which is the best organization in the NBA right now, hands down. He's been behind Pop for 17 years. He's won four championships there, and he's still fairly young. He's in his early 40s, so this is an opportunity where you can have a coach that can be in one organization for a long time with possibly long-term success. And so I actually think this is a great hire for the Atlanta Hawks. You look at Greg Popovich. You look at all the coaches in professional sports right now. Greg Popovich has the highest winning percentage of all professional sports head coaches. That's over Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick's number two on the list as far as highest winning percentage for his head coaches. Even our Sean Payton is number three, believe it or not. But Greg Popovich is number one on the list as far as the most winning, highest winning percentage of all coaches. So you're hiring one of his assistants to come to your organization. I think that can only help you.
Good move. And like you said, I like where you're coming from, too. It's interesting stats, and some people thought that Popovich was overrated because anyone can have a player like Tim Duncan. But, you know, I think they've had a lot of moving pieces, Rob, and they've been very, very consistent, you know, hitting it late with getting a Tony Parker, a lot of things passed on, you know, obviously adding Manu Ginobili, and they just keep adding pieces, sir, you know. So, you know, like
absolutely.
I said, I think it's a good coaching, and then, you know, obviously the players are kind of fitting their system. They make sure everyone kind of falls right in line. You know, it doesn't matter if you're Tim Duncan or whoever, you're going to get treated the same, which I think is a very, very impressive way to run an organization like you talked about, too. So we'll keep it moving as well.
I'll add this about Greg Popovich, as you briefly mentioned, too, a heck of a scouting department that he oversees even as the head coach.
Oh, yeah.
And this is a team that's still winning with Tim Duncan at 37 years of age. And so you have to point that out. You mentioned that he just finds the right pieces. He coaches guys up. Danny Green was a guy who wasn't even drafted out of North Carolina. And so you got to look at the whole organization, what they're able to build and put together. And almost he's one of those kind of coaches that'll take yours and beat his. He'll take his and beat yours. So I just think that, you know, the kind of coach that you have in Popovich, and I think if you're Atlanta Hawks, you hope that they're, you know, he's able to kind of come in and kind of run something similar that Popovich has established in San Antonio.
I got a very, very good, very, very astute points, Rob, too. That is 100% accurate, man. Good stuff, man. Like I said, we're moving right along, and let's talk about another twist and blast from the past. If you are the Suns fans, you know, Phoenix Suns actually hired Jeff Hornacek to be their new head man, and, you know, this brings back a lot of memories. I was a huge Suns fan whenever they had Kevin Johnson, Tom Chambers, Thunder Dan Marley, the X-Men back in the day, Xavier McDaniel. I mean, this was a great squad.
Yeah.
They even added Charles Barkley a little later on, too. But, you know, very surprised they couldn't pull off a championship. I mean, they came close, but they just couldn't. They even had a guy named Cedric Ceballos. Now, I don't know if you remember him, man.
Yeah, Richard Dumas. I don't remember him
Richard
as well.
Richard Dumas, yeah. That was just a great squad. So, you know, Hornacek was a deadly outside shooter. I think this is a great move for Phoenix, too. I mean, you know, like I said, I'm not sure what type of system he's going to run. Yeah, but I think this is one of the situations where, you know, you bring home a native son. You know, obviously he'll help bring back some pride for Phoenix. I just think it's a great move for the Suns. I'd love to hear your comments too.
Yeah, well, I think more than anything else, you bring an established name to your organization. I think it's going to help, you know, with the fan base there as well. you know, bringing the established name back to your organization as well. It's going to bring some life to their organization. I mean, I think they have a fifth pick in the draft here as well. Can possibly add a piece there. We'll see what they're able to do in free agency here as well. And so, of course, you know, they're a team that still have a lot of work to do as far as building the team. And we'll have to see. Not sure what kind of coach Hornacek is, but I think more than anything, it definitely brings some life to their organization. And I think, you know, players will like playing for a former coach as well.
Gotcha. They definitely understand the ins and outs of the system. And, you know, I know I'm going to kind of go off the script here, Rob, because I know before, you know, people weren't sure how Mark Jackson was going to coach. I know my father-in-law was not the biggest fan of Mark Jackson. I got to reach out to him now and say, hey, what do you think about him? You talk about a guy that's, you know, becoming one of the best coaches as well as the Doc Rivers, just guys that, you know, that have played the game like you talked about. You don't always have to play the game to be successful, but it just it's interesting that these guys have come in and definitely made an impact on those teams, you know, so it's very, very interesting as well, sir.
Yeah, absolutely, and you make a great point. Mark Jackson, and, you know, a lot of times point guards can turn out to be great head coaches. They understand the game. They understand, you know, the concept of running plays and things of that nature there. They know where every position, where every guy is supposed to be on the court, and they really make better head coaches. And I think Mark Jackson has done a phenomenal job with Golden State, and I think they're one of the more up-and-coming teams in the Western Conference. Might even have a brighter future than the Oklahoma City Thunder, in my opinion. Or they could be the two teams that could really down the road be competing for Western Conference championships with the, both of them with the young talent that they have.
Yeah, there's a couple of coaches that are – or not coaches, but people that you're kind of wondering about, Rob. And I'm going to say – throw out two names, kind of get your thoughts on them. Number one, we have Nate McMillan, and we have Brian Shaw. Now, word on the street, I think there's something going on. I think Brian Shaw is pretty much going to go back to L.A. and not the L.A., but I'm talking about the L.A. Clippers. I think something's going to happen with that pretty soon here. That's just Andre. I'm not confirming anything out there, but that's just kind of where I think that he may get an opportunity – to make a move. And there's also word of the truth that the Bobcats have made a move as well with the Clippers. I'm trying to figure out the guy here. I was kind of looking on the NBATV.com, but we'll talk about that in a quick second. But what do you think about Brian Shaw? What do you think about Nate McMillan as far as you know, them possibly getting some moves here, some jobs and stuff like that?
Well, Brian Shaw is definitely deserving of a head coaching position. I think he's definitely overdue. And I think, you know, I think he's an integral part of this Indiana Pacers coaching staff here. And I think it's time that he gets considered for head coaching position, and I'm pretty sure he will. And Nate McMillan is a guy that I think can still coach as well. And, you know, I think, you know, very good defensive coach as well. And I'm sure he's going to get another opportunity at some point. But, you know, with the Clippers, I hear CP3 is running the ship right now. And based on what I'm hearing is that what he's looking for, you know, in order for him to stay with the Clippers, he wants to bring in one of his own guys. Don't be surprised if Byron Scott gets yet a fourth head coaching job with the Clippers. Don't be surprised at that. And so that would be very interesting as well. But I think Brian Shaw is definitely deserving of a head coaching job. And another name to watch here is Lionel Hollins. His contract is up here on June 30th. He doesn't have an agreement with the Memphis Grizzlies going forward. Both the Clippers and the Brooklyn Nets would like to steal him away from Memphis. Lionel Hollins has been very critical of the Memphis management, especially after they traded Rudy Gay. And so this should be very interesting to see if he stays in Memphis or if he moves to an organization like the Clippers or Brooklyn.
That's a pretty good point. I'm actually glad you mentioned the Grizzlies because, and I hate to backtrack, but whenever you're watching that series, didn't it seem like the Grizzlies that, you know, we talk about matchups, certain teams match up well. And it seemed like the Grizzlies, they just did not match up well with the Spurs for some reason. And you know, obviously, I'm sure we always talk about addition by subtraction. I'm sure that whatever they were thinking that we're going to get rid of Rudy Gay, that they were going to add, you know, a different type of punch with the offense. And they kind of went to more of a bigger lineup and able to slow things down. But do you think it actually hurt them? Because they could have used a little scoring punch from a O.J. Mayo and or also from a Rudy Gay. What do you think about that, Rob?
Well, you know, I think overall this Memphis Grizzlies team actually turned out to be better without Gage than it was with them. But you can make a case in this particular series that they could have probably helped them. But, you know, they couldn't get out of the first round with Rudy Gay last year. So I think it just depends on the matchups. And but I think one of the things that really hurt the Grizzlies is I just didn't think they had the depth that the Spurs had. And I think more so than anything, Darrell Arthur was the number one big man coming off the bench for Memphis. And you look at a guy like DeJuan Blair, who's deep on the Spurs bench, he would have been the number one big man coming off the Grizzlies bench if he was on the Grizzlies team. And so I just think when you really look at it, I think from the depth standpoint, the Spurs just had more depth on their roster than the Grizzlies had. I think that's what really hurt them more than anything else.
I love it, love it, love it. Good good insight, Rob. We're going to keep it moving. We're going to stay in the NBA. We got about 9 minutes left in the show. Let's talk a little bit about some more of the NBA draft that's coming up soon. And I'm going to ask you a question, Rob. Do you think that there are any superstars or potential superstars in this up-and-coming draft? I mean, obviously you have a lot of that's a lot of pressure to put on a young man. But if you would take a guess, is there anybody that you think this guy is going to be an absolute player? I'm not talking about LeBron just yet. Maybe like, you know, maybe like a Kobe or someone that's going to be a pretty solid player. Possibly even, well, yeah, maybe even a superstar, I guess, is what I'm asking. You think anyone has the potential to actually have a blowout in this particular draft?
Well, I don't see any LeBron James or Kobe Bryant in this kind of draft, in this draft, or Kevin Durant. I don't see that kind of player in this draft. In my personal opinion, I think Ben McLemore, the guard from Kansas, 6'5", shooting guard, I think has the best opportunity to be a star out of this draft. But I think his ceiling is more of a Ray Allen in his prime. And so that's what kind of player I can see out of Ben McLemore. Maybe slightly more athletic than Ray Allen was in his prime. But I think that's where his ceiling is as far as what kind of potential he has as a player. And I would say he's got the highest ceiling of any player in this draft. So I think he's the guy. So so I'm thinking Ray Allen in his prime, but not a LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, Kevin Durant, not that type of player in this draft.
Wow. Interesting. I like how you're going. So, you know, what do you think about, I know we're going to talk about, you know, Nerls Noel. What do you think about him? And even Otto Porter, this is a guy, he's a young guy. You know, Washington has that third pick. I mean, you think Otto Porter has a chance to be a special player?
I think he's a real sleeper. Well, you know, it's hard to call a guy who could go in the top five a sleeper, but this is a guy that has a lot of potential. I don't see him being a superstar, but I really see him as being a player that can really help an organization out. And, you know, defensively, he's got long arms. He's very athletic, and he's really improved his game offensively. And so I think you can definitely see him do quite a few things that's going to help a lot of ball clubs out. I can see him being a 14, 15-point guy in the NBA, not a superstar, not even an all-star, but just a solid NBA player for a lot of years.
A guy like that, you don't take it with the top three pick or anything like that, do you? I mean, is that a good move? I mean, obviously you're kind of
he's definitely a top five pick in this draft. And but like I said, I mean, to me, there's only one player that's got star potential in this draft, and it's Ben McLemore. I think you're going to be looking elsewhere in this draft, you're going to be hoping that you can find some guys that are going to be solid contributors, that can be starters in the organization for a long time. And I think, you know, there are those kind of players in this draft, and I think there are lots of those kind of players in this draft.
Wow. Very interesting. I mean, like I said, I like how you display that too, Rob. That's a good analysis as far as what's going on with the draft and like that too. Because I know, like, if you're like, you know, Cleveland, that's why they're probably not in that big of a deal to kind of trade that pick. But interesting. And right now, just to kind of give a quick update, it looks like Indiana's going to pull this game out, Rob. They're up 99-92 over Miami with 11 something seconds to go too. So Indiana has done it, Rob. It looks like they're going to tie up this series as it goes back to Miami.
Yeah, 2-2 series, and it looks like we have a very good series going on here right now between these two teams.
Wow. Good job, good job. Wow. So I don't think the road is just as easy as we thought for the Heat. They're running into some teams that are mentally tough, and they're going to have to definitely come out and show that they're able to do something. So one more player I want to point out, Rob, is obviously Victor Oladipo. What do you think about him as far as
Oladipo
options? Oladipo, so I'm thinking of, yep.
I think he's a poor man's Dwayne Wade. I think he's got that kind of athleticism. I think he might be a slightly better defender than Dwayne Wade, but I don't think he will have the offensive game that Dwayne Wade had in his prime. But I think athletically he has some of the same twos. But once again, I don't see him being a superstar kind of player. I could definitely see him being in that 14 to 16 point range. Definitely a guy that would be a starter in the NBA. And one good thing about him, he's got the hops, he's got the athleticism, and he can play defense. He's going to have to improve his jump shot, though.
Wow. Good stuff, Rob. I like it. I like it, man. We are just moving, cruising right along. We've got about, I want to give us some time to talk about our last topic, too, because we've got two things to jump into. We've got about 4 minutes left in the show, Rob, if you're checking all the people out there in Radio Land. Let's quickly, as we jump a quick subject here, and we're going to talk about the NFL draft is moving back 2 weeks. I think this is terrible. You know, obviously, I'm kind of used to what's going on in that particular, what's going on at the end of the month in April, and we kind of get locked in, and that way we know where exactly it's at. They had me getting starting on Thursday, and now I don't like where they're changing it up, too. Do you know anything about this, and what are your thoughts about this as well?
Well, you know, I am, you know, not in agreement with it, but, of course, I don't have a say at the NFL headquarters in New York City. This is another bonehead decision by Goodell. You know, I've said it many times before, he's the worst commissioner in professional sports. He's ruining a great product. And now you're going to make fans wait an additional 2 weeks for an exciting event for most fans. It's been in the same weekend for years, and I don't agree with it. But, hey, I'm sure we're still going to be watching them when the time comes around. So, you know, I think he's still just taking advantage of fans. He knows who's going to tune in, and, you know, I guess it doesn't really matter what the fans think about the decision. But I don't like it, but, hey, we got to deal with it. We're still going to cover it. We're still going to watch it. And until we stop watching it, that'll be the only time he'll start listening.
You hit the nail right on the head with that, Rob. I mean, basically, it's kind of like whatever he says, we're forcefully at the mercy of what the dictator, as you call it. Well, I'm going to be nice. Whatever what he says, too. But
you know you want to call him a dictator, too.
No, I'm just trying to keep it. I'm trying to keep it PC on the show. We are right at the 2 minute mark, Rob. We could kind of wrap up, talk about next week, and then we could throw some thoughts about your boy, Jamarcus Russell, and his possible return to the NFL.
Yeah, we're gonna have an abbreviated OT portion. We'll talk a little bit about Jamarcus Russell and this attempt to come back into the NFL. So definitely, if you guys want to listen to that, stay tuned or tune in on tomorrow while you guys are on your lunch breaks or driving in the car. Click on the same link and you can listen to our OT portion. But until then, join us next Tuesday, same time, same place, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific. For our good friends in Hawaii, that will be 5 p.m. And our good friends in Germany, that will be 5 a.m. So make sure you guys join us on next Tuesday. Be more NBA playoffs. Maybe we'll have our finals matchup set by then. We know the Spurs are in. Who's going to be the other team? So definitely stay tuned for our finals coverage. We're going to start previewing some college and NFL here, and we're going to start previewing the NBA draft. So you definitely don't want to miss our show on next Tuesday. Got any closing remarks, Andre?
No, it's always a great show. I appreciate you taking the time. You know, for those that want to definitely share your thoughts, you can find us on Facebook. Obviously, that's 12th Man Sports, facebook.com/12thmansports, as well as liking us on Twitter, all that fun stuff. There's a lot of things you can interact with. But, yeah, as Robert said, stay tuned. We're going to talk about some stuff in the OT, a very abbreviated portion as well. But that's what it's all about. We thank everyone for listening. We hope you enjoy yourselves, because I know I most certainly did. Anything that you want to close with, Mr. Ford?
Good night, people.
Good night. We love it. We love it. We love it. We're making moves here. So as the show gets ready to count down, we are officially going to be in the OT portion in about I'll say 10 seconds or so. Well, they called it right on the head. So let's talk about Jamarcus Russell. You know, I can give you some of the benefit of the doubt because, we're now in the OT portion as we kick it off. It's what it is, what it is. Jamarcus Russell, this was a guy that was physically just an impressive character, able to throw the ball 80 yards on his knees. And I'm sure he had some guys in his camp, that really wanted him to do what he had to do. What do you think about him? He's losing 50 pounds. He's definitely looking like he's showing some dedication. Do you think he's going to get a shot with the NFL team?
Well, I'll just say this. I'm not sure if he will or not. I think he deserves a shot. I mean, what I saw of this kid in college was one of the strongest arms I've ever seen of anybody throwing a football. It had solid accuracy, too, and it had decent footwork. If you can just keep him in shape, keep him motivated. I mean, it wasn't by accident that this guy was the number one pick. I mean, he had a lot of potential. I think this is a sign that he's at least showing a sign of maturity. If he can keep his weight down, and that was his problem when he came out of college. When he got to the NFL, he just was not a mature individual. And hopefully as the years have gone by, he has matured as an individual. And you look at some of these teams around the league and look at their backup quarterbacks, I mean, you can't tell me that Jamarcus Russell is better than those players. Who's Falcons' back quarterback right now?
Back quarterback, we have a guy named Dominic Davis, as a matter of fact. He's a young guy from Eastern Carolina.
Never heard of.
But,
think he's better than Jamarcus Russell?
I would say physically, no, he's not. But there's just some things that, I mean, we talk about all the time, just because you have the skills doesn't mean that you have the right will to be successful. Tim Tebow, I'm keeping it going, Rob. 300 shows we're going to say Tim Tebow.
Without Tim Tebow.
Tim Tebow always has the will to be successful, but he didn't have the skills. So, what is it? Whenever you have, the person has both, it has the desire, the will, the intangibles, all that stuff, that's what you're looking at, because obviously the same thing could be said about, Vince Young, or, he may have the talent, but, maybe he doesn't have the mental capacity to do it, So, same thing possibly with Jamarcus. I think he's definitely better than Dominic Davis, but like you said, what is he going to do? How motivated is he, and can he work hard and whatever? So maybe
this is not. I'm not picking on Dominic Davis or picking on. I'm basically just pointing out that there are a lot of teams. At worst case scenario, can use a Jamarcus Russell as a backup, in my opinion, if he's dedicated, if he's in shape, you'd be hard pressed to find many teams as a better backup quarterback than Jamarcus Russell, and I can't think of a team. I'm sure there are probably a few that has a better backup than Jamarcus Russell, but I can't think of many, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, you hit the nail right on the head, Rob. It's just a situation where, unfortunately for Jamarcus, whenever it was bad, it was bad. And, maybe you can blame the organization. Oakland was not the best organization for him to go to, but he didn't help himself either. So it's one of those situations where, they're going to give him a small, small breadcrumb to see what he can do. I dare to say if he makes a mistake, Rob, they're probably going to get rid of him and say, thanks for playing. See you later,
Absolutely. Yeah, well, stay tuned. We shall see. I think there's a bold owner in Dallas who may be willing to take a shot on him as far as being the backup to Tony Romo.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you say no more. Like you said, I think it was fun, Rob. For now, my goal is to try to figure out how I can incorporate Tebow into the show. So just something to think about as we continue to keep it moving.
Man, I was like, man, we were so close with no Tebow mentioned tonight. I was hoping for it, too. You ruined it.
I have a lot of fun. I'm just joking. We'll have some fun. Like you said, folks, we definitely wanted to have an abbreviated show tonight, not only because of the fact that, a lot of things going on. It's been a holiday. And that's pretty much the main focus for everyone. We're charging the batteries, and we kind of want to keep everything lighthearted, which is what we tend to do when talking sports with 12th man. But you know, it's just one of those situations where, you know, we're getting off the holiday and we're having some fun too. So I don't know, Rob, if you want to add any last-minute thoughts as we get ready to wrap up another successful edition of the show.
That's all we have for you tonight, America. And we just once again hope you guys will join us on next Tuesday, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific, 5 p.m. Hawaiian, 5 a.m. in Germany. We'll have a lot more to talk about. Sorry we don't have a full-blown 15-minute OT portion tonight, but this is all that we have for you all. Congrats to the Indiana Pacers and their fans tonight, tying the series up at 2. Should be interesting. Game 5, Thursday night. Down in Miami near South Beach.
Gotcha, gotcha. As always, as Rob said, I definitely echoed that sentiment. We thank you, everyone, for listening. Please make sure that everyone listens to you know, the actual links, what it's all about. Like us, all that fun stuff, and that's what it's all about. So I guess, sir, do you have anything to say to get ready to wrap up another successful edition of the show?
We appreciate you all tuning in, people. Once again, like us on Facebook, Talking Sports with a 12th Man. Follow us at Twitter, at 12th Man Sports. We constantly update sports information to what's happening in the sports world. Make sure you follow us. Make sure you like us. Make sure you send us some questions. Get our opinions on what we think about certain things happening in the sports industry.
Yes, sir. That's what it's all about. So next week, once again, we are kicking it right off on a Tuesday once again. You know, same time, same bat channel. We're definitely going to keep it going. We're going to talk about what else is going on with the playoffs in the NBA, obviously. We'll get some more details as far as what's going to happen. Maybe we'll have a decision on who's going to pull it out. And then also we'll see what else is going on. I know spring college football, Rob, is right around the corner. It's exciting times, right?
Absolutely. We got a lot to talk about that soon here. Hopefully we'll be getting into making some predictions in college football and NFL here in the coming weeks here in the summer.
Gotcha, cool. Like I said, as always, for Robert Ford, I am Arnold Peterson. Thank you once again for tuning in. We are officially off the air. Good night, Rob.
Good night, people.
Thank you so much for tuning in.